Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, we're chatting Brooklyn Nets as we debate if Sean Marks is already a top 10 GM in the league. We'll be chatting NBA players like, is LeBron James having the best season of his career? Is Steph Curry the most important warrior? And will Kevin Durant win Defensive Player of the Year? We'll be talking rotations for Thibodeau's Wolves and whether Wizards should go hard for DeAndre Jordan. And of course, we end it with a DBS of the best rookies that this year has produced. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. My name is Nick Busink, and I landed a job this week.
Hey, big man with this big job.
That's right. I am now a graduate engineer. So, yeah. But ball is still life, so never forget
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Never forget that.
The only thing that matters.
Exactly. And with me today on this episode 2.9, we have the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are we, mate?
Very well, mate. The snow has stopped over here, but it's still nice and chilly. But speaking of man who is ice cold, Mr. Kobe Bryant, he was on James Corden this week, Nick. I'm not sure if he caught it, but he was talking about how he's coaching his daughter's like little league basketball team and how he has instituted the triangle with them, and they are going very well. So, Phil Jackson style, Kobe, what have you been doing with yours, mate? You're a bit of a pace and space, are you like a Dan Tony 7 seconds or less, or
we are Kobe very rigid? We are definitely, and I've instilled this in the kids, we are a pass first team. We look, because kids flock to the ball, man. They just ball watch and they just like, they jump on it, all five of them in the same area. I'm just like, what are you doing? Space the ball, crash your boards, because you know these kids are missing like crazy. You crash the boards, you win the game.
So give up a good shot to get a great shot. Is that what you're saying, Nick?
Exactly. That's exactly right. We had a kid who's a pretty decent shooter. He missed all of his shots. He took like 10. Yeah? Which is trash. Like, that's a bad night for him. But like, he lost his confidence, and I'm like, mate, I gave him the good old pep talk. I was like, mate, don't trust anyone with the ball in their hands other than you to shoot. So when you get free, because he had great looks. Mate, he is 12 years old, and he's got the most gorgeous pump fake in the world. Like, it is, it's a thing of beauty. And every time he does it, I'm getting really into it, which is really scary, because, like, I'm up on my feet and screaming at every and one. Like, there's one kid who's really good at drawing contact, and he's very balanced. He's a strong, he's a good player. And I just lose it. And
now, Nick,
it's just.
Well, I like it, Nick. Speaking of probably the best player at drawing contact, I wanted to get a segue in there. Ooh. I know you're gonna like this.
Juicy.
James Harden. We're gonna jump straight into the Busing Manuel scale, ladies and gents. So before we kick off, the Busing Manuel scale, for those who are new to the podcast, this is a JBT scale created by us too, and it sums up how likely things that happen in the NBA, from news to rumors to any hot takes. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia, to a straight up fact. So that really ruined my segue, but I'm going to continue on with it anyway. James Harden has been the league's most underappreciated superstar of the last half decade. Nick, where is this on the Busing Manuel scale?
Half decade's a long time.
5 years. Like, he was. It's probably around the same amount of time he spent at the, basically since he got to the Rockets. I think it might have been 1 year removed from, or he might be 1 year before in OKC. But, you know, he's missed out on two MVPs that he could have easily won. You know, he's been an all-worldly offensive player. But Seems like he doesn't get enough credit. What do you think?
Yeah, probably to the same point that sort of Conley doesn't get enough credit, Lillard doesn't get enough credit, sort of obviously on another level. But someone who I think, and this is pretty common knowledge, is a very underappreciated star, and it's going to be highlighted extremely so once he retires, is LeBron James.
Yep.
I think that he has been the best player in the league, and he still is. Like, you ask people who the best player in the league is, and 90% of them are going to say LeBron James. But will he win the MVP this year? Well, this year, potentially. Was he the best year? Was he the best player last year? Yes, he was.
Yeah.
But he did not win MVP, and I didn't pick him for winning MVP. I actually picked Harden. I think more people are starting to buy into his sort of Harden skill. Like, I was a massive Harden fan last year. I've had his Rockets jersey for years. So I've always appreciated him. I actually liked his game early on of getting to the line, very smart. Unless it's against the Wizards, then he's, you know, a prick of life. Because it's the most frustrating thing in the world. But you got to appreciate his ability to draw contact, get to the line, and just get buckets. He just gets buckets, Jack. He is so good. But I am giving this a hashtag alternative fact because I greatly appreciate him, but he's not the league's most underappreciated superstar. LeBron James is.
Yeah, look, and LeBron said, I think it was earlier in the week, that, and I quote, "I think people have just grown accustomed of what I do, and it gets taken for granted. It may look easy, but it's not."
No.
And it's that's very true.
No one in this league works as hard as LeBron James, and all of his teammates will back that up. Like, you ask of them, and he is just focused. He's locked in. Oh, he's a brilliant man, but he's very underappreciated. Look, we take it for granted.
I agree with you, and I'll probably go with alternative fact. But if I had a said, say, has been one of the league's most underappreciated superstars,
one of,
I would say
that would
be a fact, because he probably, you know, in hindsight, everyone's saying that James Harden should have won last year's MVP. All the people who voted as Russ, you know, are being anti-vindicated for everything that's happening this season with OKC. He's a stat chaser, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
But James Harden, you know, in the, I think it was Steph's first or second MVP year as well. Harden was also outstanding that year. But I think now he has a bigger chance. But yeah, it's an alternative fact because, you know, LeBron is the league's most underappreciated superstar. And has been probably for the past maybe, yeah, five seasons, I'd say, because, you know, you get a new guy, you got Giannis early in the season, was getting all the hype.
Exactly, yeah.
But James Harden now, Steph Curry. I remember there was a nice little sort of mini feud happening there, LeBron doing his thing in those final series. But yeah.
People like the jump. The jump in, that's why, like, MVP is almost another most improved player. But yeah, most improved to the best in the league.
Yeah, it's all about narrative.
Exactly.
It's all about narrative. All right. And I think,
continue your segue, mate. I'm sorry, I completely ruined it. That's the second time.
No. two ruined segues in about 4 minutes. So let's try and get this segue somewhat smooth. So LeBron James right now, is he having the best season of his career? Nick, using Manuel scale, hit me.
It's crazy to think that this is a hashtag fact. Only the fact that his shooting percentages and clutch numbers are unreal, Jack. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, he's clutch as fuck.
Like,
he's clutch.
I just said that the whole most improved, like, MVP is the most improved. The reason he is in MVP contention, one, because the Cavs were bad and he has pulled them. They only just finished their winning streak. I think they lost to the Pistons. Or was someone? It was someone weird. It was someone random. It might not have been the Pistons, because the Pistons are good. And his ability to he's worked on his shot all summer, and it is absolutely incredible. Like, he's a 34% three-point shooter of his career, and he's had a long career. He is in his 15th year, and now he's shooting 41% from three. These shooting splits, mate, 57, 41, 76. for this year, which is like...
They're pretty redundant.
I actually thought he was a better free throw shooter, but like 76 is still respectable.
No, and when you look across his career, he's been about that. He's had his off years. Last year, I think, was one of his worst years. But I'm going to argue against it, Nick, and say Wikipedia fact, just because, you know, you could make an argument because we're only a quarter way through the season that he could have the best season of his year. But the 2012-13 year with Miami, his third year with Miami, how about these for numbers? 2012-13? Yeah. He was shooting 75% from the line, 60% from two. He was 10 of 17 from the field, so 56% from the field. And his three-point percentage was 40.6. So that's when the whole hype started. He was an MVP winner. He was also a finals MVP. That, you know, that peak Miami year was just outstanding. And he is... I mean, there's so many great years. We can go probably even all the way back to 08-09 when... I think it was 08 or 09. It might have been 09-10 where he dragged those scrub Cleveland teams.
With Drew Gooden.
Yeah. Well, it was a horrible team. And Delonte West and so to his first finals. And he got a taste of it. And ever since, he's been there. He's an otherworldly player. And I'm going to be doing an article for OTG talking about whether Coach Tyler needs to lessen his minutes because he is now 33 years old. But... the minutes restriction doesn't seem to be, he's averaging over 37 minutes.
Over 37, which has been pretty on par with the rest of his career.
It is. And whether that needs to go down, you can find that out from me in the coming weeks because I'm going to do a bit of research and that, make sure it's all good. But he's playing absolutely outstanding basketball.
His ability to transcend through different eras of basketball is amazing. Like we're in the shooting era now, and he was drafted in this sort of D Rose era where your athleticism and your burst of speed was so admirable. Like you look at Kobe's, their ability to just get to the bucket, was amazing. And now we've transitioned into a shooting league, and he is putting up numbers. And his clutch minutes are the best. Sorry, his clutch numbers are the best of his career. I don't have them here because I actually don't know how to look at clutch numbers, but I know that they're the best of his career. Like,
they always mention it on like ESPN and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like Synergy Sports and Second Spectrum. Mm. But yeah, he's averaging like an effective field goal percentage of like 65 or something.
And it just shows like those firing clutch threes right in the face of Porzingis. Like, that is... that was the best thing. You go to Madison Square Gardens, and you shoot a shot in front of a 7'1" person's face, their bloody superstar, and just kills the game. Like, LeBron.
In those step-back threes, I think he's like 8 of 11 when he does those.
He's a glorious man.
Whether it's in, I think... I don't know if it's in clutch situations or just in general, but like... That's almost become like, we know his signature move is his chase down block and his, you know, his powerful dunks. But yeah, that step back three, like he's just becoming his now.
Like the one of the Kings, the one against the Wizards last year, which still freaking haunts me.
Nick, get over it. We're 27-18, mate.
Touche. I'll be telling my kids of that one day, saying how LeBron's the greatest player ever, and he hit that bloody fadeaway step back three in the it still makes me angry, Jack.
I'm sure you'll probably be telling all your kids that you're coaching, right? Because you're gonna make them Wizard hypes, man. Get them on the pod, mate. We'll clean it up. We won't swear. We won't do anything silly if we get like 10 new fans because we're growing, mate.
That's it.
Speaking of growing, I'm gonna try and make a segue with all of these topics. Sean Marks, one of my favorite human beings to grace the earth in the past 20 years. Sean Marks, the GM of the Brooklyn Nets, he is already, with the Jahlil Okafor trade, consolidating himself as a top 10 GM in the league right now. Nick, what have you got on this? Because I'm sure many people can guess my thoughts.
Now, of course you're going to say hashtag fact. My knowledge
I'm not going to say fact.
Okay. My knowledge in basketball, is this a back office or is this a front office? See, there you go. I don't even know. in NBA front offices is not amazing. I mean, I know that... I mean, you got to give him props to Sean Marks for where Brooklyn were 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Even 2 years ago. Like, they were a joke. They were going nowhere. They had no prospects. And he has managed to pull them out of such a deep hole. And that is just, you know, you know what? You know what that deserves?
Wow.
That deserves an Owen Wilson wow. No, that deserves... you didn't hear that, which is... I need to fix that. You need to be able to hear that. But yeah, it is actually quite an effort. And if we're talking top 10 GM in the league now, again, my knowledge in this is not good. But that's essentially saying he's better than 30% of the... he's better than 60% of the GMs in this league. I don't think that's so far to say. Yeah. Like, who comes to mind? Golden State's GM, obviously.
Yeah, Bob Myers.
Yep. I would say the Cavs GM. Is that still Gilbert? Is that still Dan Gilbert?
No.
No?
No, Gilbert's the owner. It was... was David Griffin, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right.
And then,
yep.
And then how he was fired in very unceremonial circumstances.
Yeah, that was weird.
And everyone was praising him.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now in hindsight, yeah.
I listened to a Woj podcast back in the day, when he was still at the Vertical with the Bucks GM, talking about his process with Giannis, and he seems like an amazing GM. It shows there, like, he seems like he's got a good culture. Obviously, picking Giannis, that is an amazing win. And then on the other side, like, GMs, like, is Sam Prestia the GM of OKC?
Yes,
or,
he's very okay. Good.
Owners and GMs, I seem to get them a bit confused. But I don't rate him as a good GM. So that's definitely one person that Sean Marks is better.
You would be in the minority, Nick.
Really?
Because
he lost Durant, Harden, and then has made this terrible... Obviously, didn't see the value in Oladipo and Sabonis when he traded them.
Yeah, but he did it. He did it with the to be able to get Paul George out of Victor Oladipo and DeMontis Sabonis, and Kevin Durant was, you know.
Yeah, but at the time he was being praised. But would you say that that's a good deal right now? Paul George is still probably the best of the three at the moment. Russ has actually been playing some decent ball lately, but he's miles better than Melo.
Victor Oladipo has been playing some amazing basketball as well, but Paul George is a top 15, top 20 player, and you make that move in a heartbeat, and it also saves the money. Yes, it might leave them a bit bare going into next season. I think you could be questioned about the Melo deal, maybe, but the Paul George deal, every GM makes that in a heartbeat, and... his ability to draft Russ and KD, I'm not sure if he was the one who did it with Seattle before they moved, but his ability to create a winning franchise in such a short amount of time and create a really passionate fan base, I think can't be understated.
Okay.
So I would go, like, Sacramento is probably on the other end of the scale.
You
know, Garpax.
Yeah.
Garpax down in Chicago. They're absolute trash, but... You know, Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets comes to mind. Danny Ainge of the Boston
Celtics.
Obviously,
Danny Ainge. Yeah, so, I completely forgot about him.
Yeah.
He's like one of the best.
And then you could go it's not James Dolan anymore. It's James Onzioni. I'm getting confused. Like, it's Scott Perry, I think, and Scott Mills or whoever they are. They've obviously had a change with Phil going out. But yeah, and Toronto, actually, Masai Ujiri, he's quite great. So I guess you could say that they're probably, you know, Sean Marks is probably on the fringes. Which is why I would give it a wiki fact, because, you know, it still remains to be seen where the and it's going to sound strange to you that I'm not going to talk it up, but it still remains to be seen whether D'Angelo can be a superstar guy. It still remains to be seen if Jahlil Okafor, can produce. But at the end of the day, that's a move you make in a heartbeat.
I mean, if you're basing it off the potential of D'Angelo, then he has already shown that he can. This year, like, it's a small sample space, granted, but from what we've seen this year, he definitely can lead. He definitely can be that star that we did not see at the Lakers.
Yeah,
I think that's very very important plus. Like, to get motivation, it's part with Kenny Atkinson as well. But that's why I didn't rate Prestia, because a lot of Presti, because a lot of value, like, I value a GM's ability to see potential in players. And he did draft Russell and KD, which, like, two MVPs, undeniable.
And Steven Adams.
That's a good point too. But the fact that they seem to have underutilized and completely missed the boat on players like Oladipo and Sabonis. I don't know. I'm obviously, like, a bit of recency bias comes in here as well. But again, I'm not so learned in the facts. So don't take my opinion, mate. I trust your opinion. You seem to be knowledgeable about this one, mate.
Mate, we need balance on this podcast.
You're the brains, and I am the looks.
I've got to hear the. You are a very pretty man. And speaking of pretty men,
here we go. This is what...
Steph Curry, the baby-faced assassin. He's very pretty. I like his new hairdo as well. He's currently out injured. So I'll put it to you, Nicholas. Stephen Curry is the Warriors' most important player. What do you got?
This is... Most important player. Yes, I would say so. Would you say that Kawhi is the most important player on the Spurs? Of course you would.
Yes.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Of course you would, Jack. But they can still win. I think the Warriors system is much like a Spurs system. Like, it's amazing that they've still been able to win without their star player. You saw Durant go out last year, and they still won. Yeah, they were still on track to, you know, they didn't seem to let up, you know. I would say that he is one of the, or he's obviously one of the most important players. But I think Draymond is a much more important player in terms of, like, a locker room standpoint, I guess. Like, you lose Draymond, you lose your court martial. Like, he is the voice on the court. He is the voice in the locker room. He is the voice. Try and understand it, make a noise, and make it clear.
you should put that in if you've got a soundbite for it later. That'd be good. Roll it. For all our international fans, you get a bit of Fonzie.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny what he does offensively, defensively as well with his steals. Durant is the same. But I think because the system itself generates so much offense and is such a good defense, they just need to be a little bit more locked in. I think losing someone like Draymond will lose a lot of motivational. It loses a lot of motivation, loses a lot of, you know. It's like being that court martial. It's more, you can't quantify how important that is. And
that's fair, Nick.
And I think that is. But I will get, in the terms of, I always do this, I'll go on a tangent, and then I never scale the hot take. So, I've noticed it more and more. So, Steph Curry is the most important player on the Warriors. Hashtag alternative fact. Because he's not the most important.
God. Nick,
is that harsh?
A cheeky Twitter, because the Warriors aren't the Warriors without Stephen Curry.
But it's not. It's a black and white question. There's no sort of, oh, he's kind of the most important. Like, is he the most important? No, he's not. Draymond is.
Yes. No, well, you're wrong there. I love what we argue with each other. You should have read the article. Did you read the article that I linked to you in the doc, Nicholas?
I skimmed it.
Well, okay, so I'll pick out some quotes for you. Zach Lowe came up with that article early in the week, obviously, because Steph's out. KD's balling, he had a triple-double. I think it was with the Hornets in their win. So, you know, yes, you could be argued for KD. If I'm ranking, I would go Curry, Draymond, then KD. Saw what happened last year with KD's injury. They didn't miss a beat. Draymond in the finals.
Exactly, that suspension in the finals killed him. It killed him.
Yeah, but Curry wasn't 100% either. If Curry's not at 100% his peak best, then they don't win.
They also lost Bogut, but you know, we'll just forget that.
You know. I'll pick out some quotes from Coach Kerr. So Coach Kerr said, "If you're talking about who has the biggest impact on the way people guard us, on the identity of our team, then it's Steph. He's the engine. Everything starts with Steph." Bob Myers, the GM who we just praised. "What we built was initiated by Steph. The offense starts with him." So if we're going by, you know, the most influential people at the best team in the NBA, Nick, then it's a hashtag fact, you idiot.
Like I said, you can't deny what he does on offense, and defense. He's an amazing player. He's a 2-time MVP. He is incredible, and he is the face of the franchise. I just think if you're taking a if you're taking a 7-game series, what you play one with Steph and you play one with Draymond. Obviously, it depends who their opponent is, but I think they're worse off if they lose Draymond.
But KD has gotten so much better on the defensive end that this year,
and he's also amazing on the offensive end. What's good about Draymond is that he can do everything. Like he's one of my favorite players, and he is one of your least favorite players. So
yes,
yeah. If you need him to score, he can score. If you need him to facilitate, he can facilitate. He's always defending. He's always that voice. He is everyone's best mate on the court. He's the person who you don't want to play against because he's the epitome of the guy that you want on your team but don't want to play against. Like, you want Draymond on your team, but you do not want to play against Draymond because he'll be cocky, he'll be a smart ass, which is exactly the reasons why you hate him.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm. But I don't know. Obviously we can't make this example, but the finals were a key indicator of that. It doesn't help that Curry wasn't healthy either. But losing Draymond, they seem to lose their spark almost, and then lost them 3-1, which was historic. Stay woke, everyone.
Nicholas, speaking of being awake, I'm wondering if DeAndre Jordan is that wasn't the best.
It wasn't bad, but you should have said, speaking of being awake, maybe the Wizards should wake up to how important DeAndre Jordan could be to their team. So
looking up some stats, and I should have let you go with it because that's a good one. but I'll stick with my shitty one. We'll try and do it better next one.
Stay woke,
but
Wizards. Yeah, the Wizards. Stay woke.
Stay woke, Wizards. The Wizards need a bit of magic dust to wake them up with their recent mini slump, but they've been going okay. Nicholas, DeAndre Jordan is said to be on the trading block, and the Washington Wizards should go head, heels, hard after the man, Mr. Jordan. Where are you? You're our Wizards man here. I'm going to let you have a tangent. So I don't know if that's wise of me, but I'll give you a go.
That is not wise of you at all, mate, because I'm going to spend this whole time speaking about how underrated a piece Gortat is. And I honestly think that needs to be stated. He is not good defensively. And let's just put that out there just straight away. What DeAndre will bring a huge paint presence and decent offense, but very good defense. I think you were saying that his defensive numbers slumped. But no one's talking about it. Like, I haven't heard anyone sort of, like, maybe look, if you not, deep delve into deep stats.
Yeah, my stats were on rim protection and defense around the rim where he's lacked a little bit, but I also prefaced it with it in my article, the fact that Patrick Beverley's out, so there's an all defensive player that helps sort of, if you don't have a good defensive player on the perimeter, then it makes the job so much harder on the center, because they get easy looks, they can just drive in and get those easy looks around the basket, so it looks worse for DeAndre, because he was the year before and in past years, he's always ever since probably, 5 or 6 years into his career, he's been one of the best defensive centers.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't doubt the fact that he would enhance you guys over Gortat.
Oh, he would. I am just saying, like, if we were to trade it, it's not like... is this free agency? Or this is on the trading block, yeah. So if we were to trade for Gortat, Clippers are still getting a very good piece. He is one... and. Everyone has said this because I obviously listen to Wizards broadcasts a lot, and not just the Wizards side. I listen to the opposition side as well, and a lot of them say that he is one of the best pick and roll centers in the league. He sets mighty screens, and his ability to roll with the wind. Like, he's got a good finish. He's got great hook shots. Like, his offense is good. I'm not sure how well DeAndre Jordan would facilitate a sort of Bradley Beal and John Wall offense, because he allows, Gortat allows for those two guys to absolutely shine, get some open looks by setting absolutely nasty screens. That being said, DeAndre Jordan was part of, you know, that sort of lob city, so his offense is, so that offense can still be generated. It would obviously require a bit of a shuffle in offensive play, but to shore up that defense would be great. Like, we're 12th in defense at the moment, which isn't bad, but I think that's a bit of a like a stats being misleading, because when we lose, we lose. You know, we saw it against the 76ers. Ben Simmons absolutely destroyed us. Getting to the rim with ease. Jazz. Gortat could not do it. Jazz, oh man, we didn't even break 70 points. I was ready to punch someone. Like, that was such a... Anyway.
Your team could have beat the Jazz and put up a better performance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it was... so, I think that's a bit of... I think we... I was expecting us to be a bit lower on the defensive rating. But yeah, DeAndre Jordan, come to the Wizards, please, because that would be brilliant. So I'm going to hashtag wiki fact, because we should get him and it will work. But Gortat is still a great piece, and it will take some time to get used to the new sort of center.
Yeah, and the package that's being floated, and I think Bill Simmons put it in his article in the Ringer. Was that I think it's Oubre, Gortat, and a first rounder, which you guys have, which is good.
I don't want to lose Oubre though. Like, that's another thing. If the package is too much, then
a lot of the packages seem to favor the Clippers a lot. And I mean, I put on my Twitter early in the week that a really interesting fact that I found out, that DeAndre recently hired an agent. For those that don't know, his agent happens to be the exact same agent to Jason Kidd. Read into that what you will, but there's been very strong rumors as well, not just the Wizards, but also, you know, the Cavs, but even more so for the Bucks.
Yeah, well, do the Bucks need the Bucks another 7 foot plus dude? The length on that team is already ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't like the fit. Necessarily for much of those teams, but if they don't have to give up a lot like they did with Bledsoe, then I would go head over heels for it. But I mean, if the Clippers right now, they're the ones in the box seat, because, you know, he's under contract, and they can technically offer him whatever, but, you know, they've been tanking a little bit lately. But speaking of things that are... Nick, you got a better one? I don't have a good one for this one.
No.
Yep,
that could be the segue.
Speaking of things that might be controversial, actually, that's not bad.
That's all right. Yeah, that can work.
So earlier in the week, Brian Windhorst posted a piece on ESPN delving into the likely legalization of sports betting in the US. And Nick, I put to you, the likely legalization of sports betting in the USA, as reported by ESPN, is going to enhance the NBA product. We'll do this one quickly because it's a bit too intellectual for us. We like to be hot takey.
Yeah, that's stupid. And do the stupid things. Legalizing sports betting in the US will make the Warriors blow another 3-1 lead. let's debate. Let's debate it.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I'm not a huge fan of sports betting. Like, it just gets... Like, you can do it. That's fine. I don't have a problem with sports betting. I have a problem with the constant advertising of sports betting. I don't think sports betting should be advertised to the extent that it is. But to have it enhance the NBA product, possibly. There's a lot more money going around, which is, you know, money buys happiness, Jack. Everyone knows that. I'm giving this a Wikipedia fact. Sorry, not a Wikipedia fact, a Twitter fact. Only because, like, it's already an incredible product, and its growth over the years has been astronomical without it. Like,
I mean, I would say, I would personally say, Nick, the same thing. I'm as well not a huge advocate for sports gambling, sports betting in general, because, you know, like a lot of, it has huge addictive qualities to it. And, you know, I think within the NBA setting, though, I think Adam Silver is smart enough to have some good constraints on it, some good limitations on it. So hopefully that would be a thing. And yet the advertising is such a huge thing. Like you watch any EPL game, you walk down the street in London, you can't walk past.
Yeah, every second shop is a Ladbrokes or a William Hill. Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to get to that extent for the NBA. But you know, we don't want to have any sort of, you know, issues with tampering and the like that happens in cricket, and to a lesser, to some extent, some European football. Like, you know, if you can place a bet on a guy who like gets a tech within 5 minutes, so a player could be easily swayed. You know, give say like your rookie sale guy $50,000 to bump into the referee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Then that's where things get a little bit murky, but. So I'll go with Twitter as well, but I'm leaning towards alternative a little bit. But speaking to things that need to change, Nicholas, yeah, this is good. That one's better. I'm happy with this one.
You are you're an atrocious human.
I'm many, many, many bad negative adjectives. But Tom Thibodeau, he needs to change his rotations and lessen the minutes load of his starters who are getting gassed, Nick. They're playing a lot of minutes.
Well, yeah, because they're only rotating, like, there's only, like, three people coming off the bench or something like that. Like, he's relying so heavily on his superstars, which I think is, you know, it's very similar to what the Rockets are doing at the moment, because they're rotating.
Yeah, but because they can bench guys in the clutch, like, they can just, you know, leave. Because they're always up by so much, and they're that far ahead, they can just bench CP3 and, you know, chuck out James Harden for a couple, and then bench Harden, chuck out CP3.
Yeah, they've got a good system there. Like, they're getting great productivity with both of them together. But then one of them, and they switch between the bench units, and it's like always you've got an all-star point guard facilitating that. It's great. I love the Rockets. Anyway, this isn't about the Rockets. This is about the T-Wolves. Should they lessen the minutes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they've got young guys. Yes. They've got young guys. They can do it. It's a very old style of play, pushing your guys to these extremes.
It's a Thibodeau style of play.
Yes, exactly. Pushing your starters to this limit, but look where it's got them. They're fourth in the East, the West, 15-11. That is a brilliant jump from where they were last year.
But is this... It's not sustainable, Nick. You know, the starting lineup: Teague, Wiggins, Butler, Gibson, Towns. Great players. Towns has been iffy, up and down, to say the least. But they've played a total as of 19 games. They had played a total of 484 minutes together. The next most used lineup had played 145 minutes together fewer than that, and that's in Detroit, the Detroit starting unit. That's ridiculous. Like, that's absolutely outrageous.
Of course it is.
And 40 players this season are averaging, and this is all, you know, their article earlier in the week, 40 players this season are averaging 33 minutes or more per game. Four of them, more than any other team, play for the Wolves: Wiggins, Towns, Butler, and Gibson, who is 32 years old. And it's not that... I think that they can easily change it by adding in a lineup where it's like, you know, having Tyus Jones and Jeff Teague Wiggins out for a couple of minutes. Tyus Jones has shown to be a very capable player, off ball and energy guy, good defense. I like what he gives. Bealitz is injured, which I think hurts them a bit in terms of their depth. Shabazz Muhammad is Shabazz Shashit. He's not a good NBA player.
Jamal Crawford
is barely playing 20 minutes, despite the fact that he's on, I think, he's on about $8 or $9 million for the next 2 years. So if you've got these guys, and he's got Aaron Brooks as well, who's just a nothing player, I think Tom Thibodeau has, we mentioned GMs, we had a bit of a talk about the GMs. He's one of the only remaining coach GMs in the NBA. Doc Rivers was relieved of his duties pre-season. I think Tibbs has always been a good coach, but you know, defensively, they've been trash. The other night, for those that didn't see, Jimmy Butler was asked after a win, like, you know, are you okay with all these 40 minutes? And then Jimmy's like, yeah, I'll have to word with Tibbs about that. And he said it jokingly. But like with all jokes, Nick, whether they be horrible, true, or false,
there's always some underlying truth. Yeah.
So I think it's a hashtag fact, because if they're going to be gassed by the playoffs if this keeps on happening.
That's why I'm probably going to give this one a Wikipedia. I agree with you that it's probably unsustainable, but especially in today's league where people are getting rest. You know, it could have worked, you know, 5, 10 years ago. When the whole league was doing this and everyone was equally getting gassed at the end of the year. But that's not going to happen now. If they've got any chance to make a run in the playoffs, then they do need to rest. But I'm not as high on their bench unit as you are.
I'm not either. No. Their bench unit is horrible, but you can easily make rotations. Like, look at OKC. Yes, their bench is horrific as well, but they're not playing, you know, all of their starters. Like, Steven Adams isn't playing, you know, 35 minutes a night.
Yeah, they're
you know, Andre Roberson is doing
they
the
are
same.
Also, so, they're also not even 500, which yeah, is know, a massive but underachievement.
Like, I think, Nick, you have to back in. There has to be a balance to it. I hear what you're saying. You have to... Those guys would happily do that, but I think even Andrew Wiggins had a comment. I think it was on Twitter. It must have been in a press conference. He's like, "I'm saying how, yeah, I mean, I can do it." And then, like, I think there was a little trail off, and he said, "Like, for now." So, like, we're 25 games into a season. Jimmy Butler knows this is what Tibbs does. So, like, I think he can do that with Jimmy. But even last year, he played, you know, Wiggins, LaVine, and Towns some outrageous minutes, and that didn't really get them very far. Butler has obviously provided a bit of stability, and he's a superstar.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So that certainly helps.
Well, they've got got three players in the top 15 in minutes played, which is astounding.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But if to that point, you know, Pelicans also have, you know, they're playing DeMarcus Cousins absolutely crazy minutes at the moment. Drew Holiday is even averaging more minutes than Cousins, and they're in the top three. Like Wiggins is getting Wiggins is getting overused, but
if we're also, if we're mentioning the fact that like teams that are weak in terms of bench depth, then the Pelicans are probably number one on that list. Whereas I think at least the Minnesota has some capable NBA bodies, but Nicholas. Moving on to things that are also surprising. Yeah?
Yeah?
No?
All right. Mate, you need to work on your segues. You need to practice, mate.
Nick, mate, it's about the spontaneity. That's what makes it good, mate. That's what makes JBT awesome. We don't rehearse this shit.
We don't. you can tell.
Did we rehearse our first one?
No, we rehearsed the episode called Bayzee. I remember. It was like the third one.
That was a good episode.
Because that was a brilliant call. Bayzee.
Yeah. You come up with some good names for the eps, Nick. You're a wonderful editor and a very, very, very good man. But
thank
also
you, sir.
Things that are... I'm not even going with the segue for this. This is just... The NBA is good right now. It is very good. And it's so good that viewership is up the highest since the 2010-11 season, up 32%. Nick, are we in the golden age of the NBA right now? Using Manuel Scale? Go.
There will be another golden age when, you know, it's just amazing how readily accessible. Like, this is just synonymous with technological growth because the NBA is now a lot more accessible, you know? 5 years ago, you couldn't watch NBA in Australia. You had to go jump through all these loopholes to one buy league pass in a different country's name, and I didn't even know a VPN existed 5 years ago. You know, so like it's this age of information as well. So I watch it a lot. You watch it a lot. It's become more of an international sport. Their branding on social media has increased that as well, and it's only going to get better, because that's what the NBA are about. They're about that whole social media aspect of it. So they will jump on any new venture that comes out, because it's such a highlight sport, and it's so good to you know, cut it down into like a minute highlight reel, and it's just so good, so dynamic. Which is why I think that it's gained so much more popularity over this social media year. But something else will come along. As of right now, it is definitely in the golden age. I'm giving this a hashtag fact. Because of all the reasons that I just mentioned. And it's only going to get bigger. Like, unless something unforeseeable happens, NBA is, you know, if you're buying stocks right now, mate, buy stocks in the NBA if you can.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know if you can, but my stock's in Joel Embiid. He's doing
it. And speaking of Joel, Nicholas, I'll segue within a segue that I made earlier.
Swigception.
Segueception. great minds. But yeah, in terms of you mentioned the technological growth, which is absolutely true, and the accessibility and the presence on social media. And the like, and just the societal stance and their impact on society in general with players and such. But in terms of the talent that the NBA has right now, it has never been deeper. Look at last year's draft, this year's draft, sorry, and you see the impact that young players are having. Ben Simmons is already, I think, top four, top five in jersey sales alongside his teammate Joel Embiid. Donovan Mitchell's doing crazy things. Lonzo Ball might not be balling out, but he's getting hyper attention. His teammate Kyle Kuzma, Donovan Mitchell's been amazing. Dennis Smith Jr., De'Aaron Fox is just in terms of the few, and Giannis, who's only 23. So, in terms of player talent as well, I think that has a huge impact on this growth, alongside all the things you mentioned. But speaking of growth, now this is a good one. Speaking of growth, Nicholas, this segue is so fucking well. This is my best one out of like the eight we've done.
You know, one from eight. Gordon, that's a good percentage.
I'll take that as my 3-point percentage. But if it's from the free throw line, I certainly need to do some work. I might give Andre Drummond a call.
That actually speaks volumes on how bad your 3-point shooting is. If you're taking one from eight. It's like, yeah, I'll take that. Hey, it's like, no, mate, you shouldn't be taking that. If you're shooting one from eight, I don't want you shooting threes.
when me and you do pick up, I'll always like put up one. You're a much better shooter than me.
I'm so inconsistent on my 3-point shot though. Like there will be some. Remember the time we I hit three in a row, and now I can't hit one.
I don't know why I kept leaving you open. I'm just like, all right, do it again. Do it again, and it's like,
I'm losing now.
I shouldn't have done that, but damn it, the segue—it's lost all its power.
The segue's gone.
But anyway, speaking of things that have grown, Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic is the league's most improved player. Now we had a bit of a discussion about this on the NBA outlet. Check that out on iTunes. As you can see, give us a like, rate, review, and subscribe. But is he the most improved player in the league right now, Nicholas? If, you know, we're giving out awards right now, would you have Aaron Gordon as the number one candidate?
I mean, when he's on, he is on. No, I would probably have a Porzingis. Like, Porzingis is just so consistently better in every facet.
Oladipo?
I was thinking Oladipo. And probably for the same reasons as Aaron Gordon, it's like when he's on, he is absolutely, oh, god damn, Aaron Gordon has had some amazing games. And it's those few games that has pushed him into this most improved player conversation. He is averaging 18 points on the season. If he plays every single game averaging 18 points... Is he in the most improved player conversation? I don't think so. Not at all.
40% from three as well.
His shooting has improved drastically. His field goal as well. But I'm more saying that the fact that those few games have been mighty impressive, and it has. But at the end of the day, he still has a lot of games where he averages subpar points.
That's fair.
At the moment, which is why I'd be leaning towards a Porzingis, who is just consistently his output. I'm gonna get Porzingis' stats up. Bear with me, but you can have your bit, mate.
And I mean, Porzingis has been winning on and off the court. We all know the famed Instagram model Jen Selter. She's known for having a famous body part, and I'll let you guys put one and one together for that. But he's been shooting his shot on Insta. He even got a like from the lovely Miss Selter on Instagram. So the unicorn's been doing his thing in many ways. He's getting very unicorny.
Horny.
We're PG, Matt. We've definitely sworn
in this. It's just second nature now. Like, I don't even realize I'm doing it.
When me and you chat about basketball and anything for that matter, we have no filter, and that is JBT in a nutshell.
Hashtag no filter.
Hashtag no filter. Hashtag I woke up like this. But yeah, Porzingis is probably, I would have him maybe two. I'm just really back Aaron Gordon just because, and I mentioned this on the outlet for those that didn't hear, his overall improvement in his skill set in terms of his overall game. I'm not talking about, stats. Yeah, 18 points is good, and it's much improved on his points per game production, but I'm talking about his shooting, his handle, he's great in transition. He's even a bit more active on the defensive end. I just like his overall growth as a player. The way I judge most improved players, that second, third year jump, which, guys like Porzingis take, with Melo gone especially. But yeah, even Oladipo, he's been great, and the situation works for him perfectly. So yeah, Porzingis will probably win it, but I'm putting my name out there for Aaron Gordon, so I'm giving the hashtag back.
Firm on that one.
Put it in there.
You have to back it up. Yeah,
shoot my shot.
Yeah, that's it. Shall we move on? You want to do this last one?
Last one. You do a segue.
All right.
You do a segue.
Speaking of people who have improved.
That was bad. I had a better one than that. Let me have it.
What's yours? Yeah, give me yours.
All right. Speaking of the NBA award season.
Bum. You absolute bum. Touche. Yeah, but I bet one of the other ones. The Wizards one. I bet you on the Wizards one. So we're one all.
I guess we should have next week when we do our Music Manuel scale, we'll take it in turns with segues. Segway challenge. I feel like people are going to get confused by Segway challenge. They're going to think we're riding segways.
Yeah. doing flips.
But
and shit.
We're talking about transitions within our podcast. So
indeed,
we'll see how we go. And you can't look it up. Like you can't research it.
I wouldn't even know how you'd research segways. Anyway, we are running long here. Kevin Durant is the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year, mate. Give this one a rating.
I'm going to go hashtag wiki fact. He's certainly around the mark. Guys like Joel Embiid, guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, you pick any of the three out in Boston, Smart, Horford, Brown, even Anthony Davis is up. He's always going to be in that conversation. Rudy Gobert will probably be back. He's back, and I'm sure he'll have an impact on that award. And Kawhi's coming back soon enough as well. Whether he can make an impact enough in 55 games remains to be seen, but I'll give it a wiki just purely because I think he has taken his game to another level on that end of the floor.
I mean, we saw that jump. We saw that jump last year, didn't we?
But it's gotten even greater.
Like, is he leading blocks at the moment? Like, he was at a stage. We saw that jump last year. And I was making a case before he got injured last year for his MVP race because simply because he had improved his defensive game tenfold. Like, I don't know whether it was just him working well in that system, in that Golden State system, but something was working for him, and it was absolutely tremendous. He was amazing. He was blocking every shot, and it's weird that we didn't see that in OKC, considering he's had, you know, he didn't just grow when he went to Golden State. He's always been a 7-foot monster with a huge wingspan. It's just, I don't know, Steve Kerr's managed to get the best out of him defensively, and he is second in blocks at the moment. He's one behind Miles Turner. We don't talk much about Indiana, but Miles Turner is a very, very, very good player. He had an amazing start of the season, Turner. He's probably plateaued a little bit at the moment, but he's another young guy you got to look forward to.
Yeah, well, I'll make sure to chuck in some paces talking to next week's pod. But Nick, shall we head to a break before we finish off with our fantasy teams and rookie watch,
mate? I think it's because the good people have sat with us for 55 long minutes. We don't need to go to a break.
It's not long, mate. You listen to us, it ain't long.
Yeah, it just goes quick, doesn't it? I mean, we're just a joy to listen to. I love listening to my own voice.
I love listening to your voice too, Nick.
I reckon we can just power through unless you wanted to get anything. Are you good to go? No. The sooner we get this done, mate, the sooner you can go to bed. And it is late over
That's a fair call.
All right.
Well, are you going to put in a break or something? Because I think for the flow of the pod, we've got to add in something. Do you want me to just like say,
you know what? We can go. We will be right back after this break because I think Jack needs to change his tampon. After the break, we've got JBT for the week and Rookie Watch.
You listen to JBT Podcast. Make sure to give us a follow on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast, mate. Straight away here, we're going to kick off with some JB Team of the Week. Curry, way down to Bang! Bang!
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where Jack and myself recognise the players that have been outstanding in their position. Each week, 5 players get chosen, and the players who feature the most at the end of the year will make the JB Team of the Year. And individual performances will make JBT MVP. A lot of acronyms in there, mate, but I like it.
All about the acronyms.
That's it. At point guard this week, we've got Russell Westbrook registering his 7th triple-double, picking up his form from last year, I think. 34 points, 13 rebounds, 14 assists, 1 block, 1 steal. Chuck those in there as well. In the Thunder's very important win over the Jazz. Big win for them there. Very, very much started there by Russ. Shooting guard, my boy, the real deal Beal, and a stunning, stunning 51-point performance. His performance pushed Devin Booker out of the shooting guard position for this week. Much to my pleasure, he was outstanding, posting 51 points, 21 from 37 shots, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, as we bounced the Blazers. What a good game that was to watch. It's so good watching him absolutely fulfill his potential, we'll say that. Do you want to... You can take the front court, mate.
I shall. In the absence of Stephen Curry, KD stepped up with a triple-double to lift the Warriors to their 20th win of the season. He had 35 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 blocks, continuing his claim for Defensive Player of the Year. Another guy who's in that conversation, Al Horford of the Boston Celtics, flirted with a triple-double in the Celts' win over the Bucks, putting up 20 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and a little cheeky block as well. And the guy who has featured very heavily this year on JB Team of the Week, DeMarcus Cousins, cemented his status as one of the league's best big men with yet another outstanding performance in the New Orleans win over Denver, posting 40 points, 22 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 blocks. The first man in 20 years since Patrick Ewing to post 2 40-20 games in a season, and it is only game 25 or so. So DeMarcus Cousins, he is... he's having an otherworldly season this year, Nick.
He is. It actually seems to be going all right there in New Orleans. They're 500 at the moment. They're doing well. Doing so well.
They're kicking around.
Yeah,
kicking around.
Well, considering where they were last year, you know, this was do or die. This was do or die for them. We will kick off here with some rookie watch for those of you who are new to the podcast. This is where we rank the rookies based on a performance this week, similar to JB Team of the Week, but we award them 1, 2, and 3 votes, similar to a Brownlow style for those Aussies that know what the hell a Brownlow is. We'll tally at the end of the year to see who wins JBT Rookie of the Year. All right. With 1 vote, L. Markkanen, in the team's 4th win of the season. 4th win, that is depressing. Markkanen played a huge part, scoring 24 points, including a 3 in overtime, and 12 rebounds to help the Bulls take down the Charlotte Hornets. 2 votes, B. Simmons. He has featured a lot in Rookie Watch. Not surprising, he notched another triple-double, 12 points, 13 rebounds, 15 assists. This guy is insane in a classic game against the Lakers, albeit it came in a loss, but he had an amazing stat line. And, mate, the big 3, I don't actually have a drum roll sound board. I need to work on that. The 3 votes.
You've got
that,
so many.
I know, I've got so many. I've got this one.
What's your favorite hobby? Magnets.
I've got the magnets one. Like, I mean, come on. And I don't have a drum roll. That is depressing. I just love
well,
all
for
always,
next
so.
Sweet Nicholas. Exactly. I reckon actually that'd be a good idea for every time there's a 3 for the 3 votes for Rookie Watch. That'd be a good one to have.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Something.
Well, I would have to do it because I'm the only one who can hear the drum roll.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess next week I'll do 1 and 2 votes and you can do the 3.
All right. Well, but, anyway, who's taking the 3 votes, mate?
It is Donovan Mitchell. No surprises here. He was huge last week, and even this week he had another outstanding game. Again, came in a loss, but against the Thunder, he posted 31 points, a rebound, 4 assists, and 5 steals. This guy's quickly rising the rookie ranks and establishing himself as one of the most exciting young two-way talents. In the past 8 games, as of Thursday, this was via Twitter, he was averaging 20 points per game, 45.8%. From the field, and 45.6% from 3, 79% from the free throw line, 3.6 rebounds per game, 4.1 assists, 1.3 steals, only 2 turnovers, and in 31 minutes, and in plus 10.6. He is an outstanding young talent, and he's already becoming one of my favorite players to watch. Really, really fun guy.
Good on him. Doing well. Yeah, these rookies, mate, they're doing great things. All right, are we heading to our last segment here, DBS? Yeah, yeah. Am I doing that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we'll smash it out. We'll smash it. Quickly.
All right. Drop.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you.
Bench.
No, God, please, no, no.
Start.
All right, that's more like it.
This is DBS. Yes, for those of you who are new, this is how it works. We've been given 3 basketball players, both past and present, from you guys, the listeners, and we have to decide who we drop, who we bench, and who we start. It's that simple. This week, it's a bit of a rookie-inspired one. I had Lonzo Ball in there, but I think Jack was a bit sour on that one. So we've got Jason Tatum, Lauri Markkanen, and Donovan Mitchell. Mate, who you dropping, who you benching, and who you starting? DBS.
Look, this is tough for me, Nick, because if we had Lonzo Ball, it would go bang. But Lauri Markkanen has been his best player with Robin Lopez. Jason Tatum, I think the other day, I'm not sure if he still is, but he was leading the league in 3-point percentage.
Yeah, he still is. Ridiculous. He still is. He's at like 56, I think, which is crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
For a rookie, 51, let alone a 51. Guy who's... 51%. Wow.
Yeah, there it is.
I didn't hear it at all, but no, you didn't. I get what it was. But yeah, and Donovan Mitchell, as we mentioned before, he's been on a tear lately, especially in JBT Rookie Watch. So I'm gonna start Jason Tatum. I'm gonna bench Donovan Mitchell, and I'm gonna drop Lauri Markkanen.
What was that? I wasn't listening to you, mate.
You are a horrible human.
I was doing my own thing. Yeah, I was. Yeah.
You nerd.
Yeah.
Do you have the nerd soundbite?
I don't. Oh man, I've got some work to do. I've got some work to do.
You've got some work to do, my friend. Yeah, so I'm going to start Jason Tatum. He's been phenomenal for the Celtics.
Oh, okay. And then dropping Markkanen's and benching Mitchell.
Correct. Just because, you know, Tatum has been an important piece on a winning team. Donovan Mitchell has been the reason why the Jazz have been, at 500 and staying afloat with their playoff hopes, even in the absence of Rudy Gobert. And Lauri Markkanen has the potential to be, you know, Dirk Light, Porzingis Light, but despite the fact that he's been influential for a dumpster fire team, he just can't compete with these two guys who have just been simply great, just absolutely great this year.
It was a bit of a toss-up for me between Tatum and Mitchell. I am dropping Markkanen, and that's not a knock on Markkanen. He's easily the best. He's the best player on that Bulls team. And he, again, like he's got a great ceiling. It was a bit... I know Bulls fans were a bit iffy when he was drafted because he was just a shooter, but he is a dynamic player. He's brilliant. So it was a toss-up between Tatum and Mitchell for me. I'm starting Mitchell. I'm benching Tatum. As important and as good Tatum is, I think he works so well in that Boston outfit. He is a role player, and he does that role amazingly well. Like 51% from three is insane from a rookie. But I'm starting Donovan Mitchell. His efficiency is not nearly as good as that. But the Jazz have trusted him with almost all of the offense. Like, he's jacking up so many shots, and it's not paying off at the moment, except for that one game. Who was it? I think it was maybe against the Wizards, where he absolutely destroyed the points tally there. So I think that Mitchell is... I just like his role on the Jazz more than I like Tatum's role. Like, he is a star, Mitchell, and he is the frontal. He's the frontal point of that Jazz outfit, and I love watching him play. Love watching him play. He's such an athletic dude. Anyway, enough about my man crush with Donovan Mitchell. I think we are ready to go here, mate. Do you wanna take us out? You wanna sing the song?
I shall sing the song loud and proud. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Nick is a popular man, ladies and gents. You can find us on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Helps us to... We really appreciate the ratings. We'll give you a shout-out. We'll do all those things. Rate, review, subscribe. Get it in your head, ladies and gents. Nick's probably texting people right now that are telling him about it. You can contact us at the J-Man JBT is myself on Twitter, and Nick is at JBT Nick. You should also hit up at OTG Basketball, who have a great podcast network, which we are a part of, and awesome NBA articles. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things, you'll find us. We're putting out some great content, really consistent. Nick and I are getting right on that. And also, if you hit us up on email, jbtpodcast@gmail.com, we will read those out in the show. So plenty of places to find us. Remember, it's you guys who make the show great. We appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars.